Welcome back to another episode of Spontaneous Remarks, the podcast where you never know what's going to happen or what's going to be said or done. You just got to know what we're going to be talking about today. Look, I don't even know what we're going to be talking about. I got to get the old wheel of Nerdville a spin to find out what our subject will be today. So here, let's get ready. All right, here we go, Mr. Wheel of Nerdville. Okay, for this podcast, we only have three rules. Number one, we have to stay out of bright light. It's bad for our corneas. Number two, we have to not get wet. We can't take a bath anymore. Probably not. Can't even drink water. I don't know about that. But the most important probably is we can't eat after midnight. Forget those midnight snacks, boys. Not even some fried chicken. It's bad for the thighs. Today's episode of Spontaneous Remarks, we're talking about gremlins. Woo! All right, welcome back to another episode of Spontaneous Remarks. Hope y'all are having a great day. Hope it's beautiful wherever you are. It's a little chilly where I am, but that's okay. Today, we're coming back with you another episode diving into the classic 80s cinema that is both adorable and terrifying, the movie Gremlins. So, you know what? Take a minute, go pop some popcorn. Don't get any water, please. Let's talk about the Mogwai, the mischief, and the mayhem. While you're doing that, don't forget to get over to Spotify or whatever platform you're listening to us on. We're on Apple Podcast. We're on iHeartRadio. There's several more that you can check us out on. Go over there and give us a 5-star rating if you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, at least give us some kind of rating so I can know what to improve on. But anyway, we're going to get started right here into this movie, Gremlins. This was a big movie back in the 80s. You know, the Mogwai, those cute little fluffy creatures that come with that set of rules that we just heard about. You know, they're just like furry little alarm clocks with a hidden danger no one knows about. We can't expose them to bright light. Don't get them wet. Whatever you do, don't feed them after midnight. That is just a recipe for a disaster wrapped in a cute little package. And you know what? Those rules seem really hard to follow when you get to thinking about it. But so Gremlins was a movie back in 1984. It was a horror comedy filmed by director Joe Dante and produced by Steven Spielberg. So it's another Steven Spielberg movie. And this movie follows the story of a young man named Billy Peltzer, who was played by Zach Gilligan. And he received a mysterious creature called a Mogwai named Gizmo as a Christmas gift from his father. So this begs the question, is Gremlins a Christmas movie? Well, we'll get back to that later. Rand Peltzer was played by Hoyt Axton. And along with Gizmo, Billy is given three important rules for taking care of the Mogwai. Keep it away from bright light, especially sunlight, which can kill it. Never get it wet. And never feed it after midnight. So, for just sake of argument, keeping it out of bright light, that's probably something doable. It can't ever go outside because of sunlight unless it's going out at nighttime. And, boy, I tell you what, it must have smelled awful after a while because you couldn't get it wet, so you couldn't give it a bath. But then, isn't it after midnight always somewhere throughout the world? So, that would kind of be hard to do. But anyway, Billy inadvertently breaks these three rules accidentally, causing Gizmo to spawn, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, to spawn more mischievous and dangerous Mogwai who can eventually transform into these little green men, as the newscaster said, known as gremlins. Now, chaos ensues and just terrorizes this town of Kingston Falls as the gremlins are leading a wild and comedic battle between Billy, his girlfriend Kate, she was played by Phoebe Cates, and these creatures. Now, Gremlins was praised for its unique blend of horror and comedy, as well as its impressive special effects for the time. Gremlins themselves were portrayed, using a mix of animatronics and puppetry, giving them a lifelike and sometimes comedic presence on the screen. Now, the film's success led to the sequel, Gremlins 2, The New Batch, and it was released in 1990. And it was a little different from the first one. It took a kind of a different approach to the original, but both movies have since become cult classics, and they're known for their dark humor, memorable characters, and those iconic gremlin antics. The legacy of Gremlins continues to resonate with audiences, and you know, talks of a potential third installment have surfaced over the years, and if it follows suit with movies like Beetlejuice and all these other ones that keep dishing, Ghostbusters, they've had more sequels. I mean, it's going to keep fans eagerly anticipating more misadventures with these chaotic creatures. Now, let's talk about the word Mogwai. As depicted in the Gremlins film series, it's a fictional creature originating from Chinese folklore. And in the context of the movies, Mogwai are small, cute, little furry little creatures, kind of like a mix between a hamster and a small dog. But the most famous Mogwai, like I said, was Gizmo. He was very gentle, kind-hearted, and endearing. The key characteristics of a Mogwai, they're small creatures, fur, they have large ears, really big eyes, cute, cuddly. I wanted one growing up. I even had a stuffed animal that when you shook it, it would make a little sound like a, kind of like in the movie, the little Mogwai bouncing up and down. They're generally friendly and gentle creatures when cared for properly, and they form bonds with humans, as in the movie he showed some affection to Billy. But when a Mogwai gets wet, it spawns new Mogwai from its back, which start as small cocoons and then hatch into these mischievous versions of the original. Now, first, they start off as the little puffballs, and they grow into more Mogwai. That's the first problem. You get them wet, they multiply. Now, the second problem is that if a Mogwai is fed after midnight, it undergoes a transformation into a gremlin, becoming larger, more aggressive, and it gains a mischievous personality. So we see in the movie that they had actually tricked the extra Mogwai were more mischievous than Gizmo, and they tricked Billy into feeding them after midnight. They chewed his alarm clock cord in two. And so he thought it was 11 o'clock, so he went and got him some chicken. They ate the fried chicken, and then the next morning, there were these nasty green, mucusy cocoons. And so now, the Mogwai, like Gizmo, often have unique names. I don't remember there being names to any of the other ones except for Gizmo and the gremlin Stripe. And he was only named Stripe because he had a white stripe of hair on top of his head. And the term Mogwai in Chinese folklore refers to a supernatural being or monster often associated with mischief or causing trouble. And that's what the portrayal of Mogwai in the Gremlins movie, it combines elements of this folklore with more modern and a comedic twist, resulting in those iconic characters that have captured the imaginations of audiences worldwide. Now let's talk about the voice cast for Gremlins. So Howie Mandel, he was the voice of Gizmo. He also portrayed, I don't remember the dude's name, but he was in Little Monsters, the monster in that movie. And he's also portrayed Bobby's World, the voice of Bobby. And he's been in all kinds of Walk Like a Man, other movies like that. Frank Welker, we've already talked about him in the past. He was the voice of one of the gremlins and also Mogwai sounds in the film. Michael Winslow, this guy's from Police Academy, known for his impressive vocal and sound effects. He also contributed to the gremlin voices in the movies. And then there was Chris Wallace, who was a special effects designer for the film, which contributed to various creature vocalizations and sounds. And Bob Bergen, another accomplished voice actor, provided additional voice work for the gremlins. In the New Batch, Tony Randall was the voice of the Brain Gremlin. He lent his distinctive voice to Brain, the articulate and intellectual leader of the Gremlins in the sequel. Frank Welker came back and he voiced Gremlin sounds and creature sounds in the sequel. Howie Mandel was back to voice Gizmo as well. Bob Bergen returned to contribute additional voice work for Gremlins. And These voice actors, along with the talented teams responsible for sound design and the creature effects, is what played such a crucial role in bringing this lively and sometimes chaotic personalities of the Gremlins to the big screen. And that just added to the charm and humor of Gremlins, making the creatures very memorable and beloved by children of all ages, all audiences as well. And even to this day, 2024, you go to Walmart, go to the toy section or the movie section, and you're going to find some kind of gremlin, a mogwai or something in that section. Oh, and fun fact, the Kingston Falls area of Gremlins is also Hill Valley from Back to the Future. So the part in the movie where you see Billy running through the street trying to get to the bank is the same street. The movie theater is the same movie theater that the DeLorean crashes into in Back to the Future 2. It's the same universe, Gremlins and Back to the Future. That's pretty interesting. So the idea for Gremlins was actually conceived by Chris Columbus while he was living in New York. He heard the sounds of mice in his walls, and that's what inspired him to write a story about these mischievous little creatures wreaking havoc. It was a PG-13 rating, and that played a significant role in the creation of these ratings. Due to the dark and kind of violent context mixed with the humor, it was considered a little too intense for a PG rating, but not quite rated R. I don't even remember really any bad words being in the movie, but there were some quite a bit of violence. This led to the creation of the PG-13 rating by the MPAA, Motion Picture Association of America. Now, like I said earlier, the special effects, that was all about a mix of puppetry, animatronics, and stop motion. Several scenes in the movie you could tell that it's stop motion and whatnot. The special effects were groundbreaking for their time and contributed to the film's success. Now, there was a cameo appearance. If you look closely during one scene in Gremlins, you'll spot Steven Spielberg cameo, the appearance as a man riding a recumbent bicycle past the main characters. So I'll have to go back and watch that because I don't know. I didn't know that he was in there. Phoebe Cates' monologue. This is a story in the movie. She talks about why she hated Christmas. Billy was talking to her about how everyone is always excited and happy around Christmas, and she told him why she hated Christmas. There's a line in the movie where she says, "While everyone's opening up presents, some are opening up their wrists." When I was growing up, I thought she said risk, R-I-S-K. Never understood what she meant. But as I'm an adult now, looking back, she was talking about the holidays. A lot of people end up dying either by suicide or just some unfortunate freak accident, natural causes, and makes Christmas a very depressing time for many people. My dad passed away December 3rd in 2009. So every Christmas, when it gets close to Christmas, that always is right there. So I understand what she's talking about. She told the story of how her dad had wanted to surprise them by dressing up as Santa and delivering the presents, but he went missing for several days. And after a while, she went downstairs to start a fire to get the house warm and then noticed a smell, very bad smell. They'd called the authorities and they had to break down the chimney because they realized that's where the smell was coming from. They thought it was going to be a bird or a cat or some animal, but they found her dead father. He had tried to climb down the chimney to surprise them, slipped and broke his neck. And she ends the monologue by saying, "And that's how I found out there was no Santa Claus." That little scene is known as the Santa Claus monologue, and it really just added a lot of depth to her character. Now, let's talk about Gremlins 2, The New Batch. So, the first film leaned more towards the horror comedy. This took a more satirical approach, and it included numerous references and pop culture parodies, including other films and TV shows. So, in Gremlins 2, the Gremlins undergo various transformations in this Clamp Towers that I mentioned earlier. There was a scientific research lab, and there was all kinds of different, not really potions, but, you know, vials of different things, and these gremlins got into these things and they drank them or got injected by them or whatever. And there was one that was called the Brain Gremlin. He was very intellectual. Then there was the Spider Gremlin. There was the Bat Gremlin. There was a gremlin that was a vegetarian gremlin that grew a garden on his body. He would start burping and it would sprout tomatoes, and he had ate the vegetable medley potion or something. And so he started sprouting lettuce and all these other vegetables. And there was also the electric gremlin. This gremlin got electrified and could stay, like he could get in the outlets He was going through like the current of the building and the lights and everything. That was an interesting gremlin. So there was also even breaking the fourth wall times where the gremlins even took over the film projection to disrupt the screening. There was a couple of cameo references in Gremlins 2. One was Leonard Maltin. Another was Hulk Hogan. And then the director, Joe Dante himself. Hulk Hogan come up during the time where they were screening the movie, where the gremlins were busting in the film projector, and he got up and pretty much threatened them, you know, what you gonna do when the Hulkamaniacs come up there in the projection booth and just lay the smackdown? He didn't say smackdown because that wasn't a thing back then. But anyway, he got the gremlins back on track. And so both gremlin films have actually become pretty beloved cult classics, and they each offered a unique brand of humor, horror, comedy, and a lot of creativity. And they continue to be celebrated for their imaginative storytelling and memorable characters, as well as the groundbreaking special effects. In Gremlins 2, Gizmo ended up turning into a Rambo-type character at the end. He was the one that kind of saved the day against the Spider Gremlin. The Spider Gremlin was actually Mohawk, which was the main antagonist gremlin in Gremlins 2, the first being Stripe. Similar gremlins, one had the white stripe of hair. Mohawk had like a fin on his head that was not hair. It was just scaly fin or whatever. That's why he was called Mohawk. Now, there are times in your life when your wife will point out things that will blow your mind. So we were watching Gremlins one day, and I know that gremlins, if you get them wet, they're going to multiply. So there's a scene where Stripe had gotten out from the house and he was going down the street, and he had all these gremlins behind him because he had just got to the YMCA center, jumped in the swimming pool, and pretty much multiplied into I don't even know how many different gremlins. But we're watching this show, and she says, now, I thought gremlins would multiply when they got wet. I said, yeah, they do. She said, well, I mean, he's walking on snow. Now, so I begin to think about that. Now, if a gremlin is on snow, now, first, he's a reptilian-type character, so I would assume he's cold-blooded. But just because you're a cold-blooded character doesn't mean you don't have some type of warmth in you, which means if you were walking across snow, it would probably melt a little bit. I'm going to let you think about that for just a second. That really blew my mind because I thought, well, my gosh, that means he could be multiplying every single time he took a step. But that never happened in the movie. Plot hole. But anyway. So that was really the gist of Gremlins 1, Gremlins 2. There have been. There was a Gremlins 2 Nintendo game, NES game back in the day. There was all kinds of different toys. There's action figures now that you can get, collectibles, the little gremlins. It would be very cool if they did come out with another Gremlins movie, and I did hear something about it not too long ago. I don't know if it's something true. I mean, they've come out with Beetlejuice, which is a sequel. And if they stop there and don't make a Beetlejuice trilogy, they would be remiss to do that. But Gremlins, I mean, yeah, it was a big 80s hit, 90s hit. They've not done one since, but they could do another one and probably do pretty good with it. I mean, my gosh, history repeats itself. Why not all the movies, huh? I mean, we've had a reboot of Transformers. We had a reboot of G.I. Joe. Not really a reboot. They made live action. But we've had the reboots of Star Trek. We've had reboots of, you know, Star Wars. Why not Gremlins 2? Come on, guys. Let's get the Gremlins thing going. But anyway, that's really it for this episode of Spontaneous Remarks. What is that noise?
Gizmo.
Oh my gosh, what is going on here? Who is messing with my stuff? My goodness gracious. You know what? Guys, this is just like that episode or the part in the movie where Rock and Ricky Rialto was getting assaulted by these stupid little green Gizmo. Men gremlins.
Gizmo.
My gosh, would you stop it?
Gizmo. Spontaneous remarks. Oh.
Be sure to like.
Yeah.
Follow.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
Share.
Yum yum
yum yum.
Anyway, yum, guys.
Yum yum.
Hey, we'll catch you guys on the flip flop. Y'all have a great week.